Summertime is already here, can you believe it? It is time to purchase that collection of TV, movies, serials, cartoons, or old-time radio. The cost of the drives continue to rise, which is not good, which means that you need to get off the fence and to join the many other happy customers who have purchased one of our TV collections or movie, cartoon, and old-time radio. By the way, I messed up again. Yes, again, I misordered, and so now I have 5 Apple Mac drives ready to go. Best of all, I've lowered the price for old-time radio. So go to oldtimeradiodvd.com to get your collection today. Don't waste time. Don't put it off. Oldtimeradiodvd.com. You'll be glad you did.
Wait. Wait. Don't go away. Don't be afraid just because it's near the hour when we go to the Black Chapel. Each evening we come to this remote place, a place of mystery and terror, where the hooded figure appears and sits at the keyboard of the ruined old organ, mumbling and gibbering his fantastic tales as his gnarled hands grip the cracked keys.
Little do they know, little does anyone know, the true story behind the tale of the crawling terror. I know it, and I shall tell it to you now. It's a very funny story. Just the thing for a good night's sleep. Sylvia and Chandler Harrison were artists. They came driving through Blackstone County one day and saw the Schmidt farm. And instantly they fell in love with it. And well they might. The cottage was made of gray stone set well back in a yard full of maples against a charming circle of green hills. There was an artesian well in the foreground, and on all sides, there were fields of tall, waving grain. Sylvia and Chandler fell in love with the place because they were tired of city life. They wanted to live in the country. The Schmidts accepted their price at once and moved out. With all the gay abandon of youth, Sylvia and Chandler brought their effects with them from the city and set up their housekeeping. They hired an overseer to look after the farm. Yes? Oh, they were perfectly happy in the possession of their clever new home. Nobody knows just when the strange progression of the events began. The only thing that is known is that neither of these young people at first suspected there was anything out of the ordinary about the Schmidt place. The strange sound they heard in the wall, they thought, was rats. Yes. Only their dog Wellington seemed greatly excited. Several times at evening, he would suddenly sit up and growl fiercely at something. Something that seemed to be crossing the floor. He would follow the thing with his nose sniffing, and Sylvia and Chandler would laugh at him. One night, the dog disappeared. Another evening, Sylvia had gone to bed early. Chandler sat in his easy chair reading. The house was as still as death. His arm hung from the chair limp. And just as he was beginning to doze, he felt something strange. It didn't feel like a dog's back. It was the right distance from the floor, but it was slippery, slimy. Chandler suddenly had the idea that if he pressed his fingers into it, it would give, like jelly. Wide awake now, he turned to look. What he saw was apparently a mass of gelatin. Moving. Moving across the floor, a horrible, terrible crawling thing. And it was alive. Dreadfully alive! Quick as a flash, Chandler jumped up, picked up the poker, and began to slash at the thing. It stretched across the floor, crawling as worms do. Little by little, it oozed through the cracks until it was gone. Chandler felt a cold sweat break out over him. What was this nameless thing? He whistled for the dog, the new dog. No answer. Where was the dog? It was then they knew the dog had disappeared. Had the crawling terror eaten the dog? Chandler said nothing to Sylvia about it at breakfast. As quickly as he could, he drove to the village.
Listen,
he said to the postmaster.
Who were those people, the Schmidts, who lived in that house before us? Well, now, drawled the postmaster, there was a strange goings on in that there house of yourn. I believe they was spiritualists. 2 weeks passed, and suddenly Napoleon, Sylvia's cat, disappeared too.
And then the overseer ran in to say that the chickens were going, one by one.
Chandler went back into the house.
Look here, Sylvia, let's get out of here quick right away. I'm tired of this place.
She laughed. Why, Chandler, you look so odd.
And he could only mumble and give no reason
why they should leave. Chandler took to staying up late at night. But not to read. Oh, no. He was listening for that noise from the wall. And he watched the floor. And a week later again, the overseer approached Chandler. And his voice was very grave.
Mr. Chandler, I'm quitting.
Why?
Come with me.
They went to the barn. There lay Sylvia's pride of the bridal path, her little mare, dead. The extraordinary thing was, the entire lower half of its body was gone.
Good heavens, cried Chandler.
And there's a lot more I've never told you about, the overseer said. Chickens disappearing. Suddenly, there ain't no more mice in my room. I can't stay, Mr. Harrison. There's something terrible, terrible wrong about this place. That night, Chandler examined every window before he went to bed. Yes, he closed them tightly. He put rags in the cracks beneath and around the door.
Darling,
said Sylvia, are you insane?
I wonder,
muttered Chandler. His wife stared at him. His eyes were haggard and worried. Darling, let's get out of here. There's some terrible, awful, malignant force in this house. Something no man knows about. Sylvia laughed. That silvery laugh of which she was so famous.
How silly.
But if that's the way you feel, we'd better get back to the city. As for me, I'm perfectly happy in this darling little place. He switched off the light. Chandler lay and stared at the ceiling. Was he indeed insane? But the overseer had felt this something too, this crawling terror. No, he couldn't be crazy. He couldn't be. He told himself that over and over. He couldn't be. He couldn't. But still, that awareness of something terrible overhanging dominated over the house. And he couldn't stand it any longer. And he got out of bed. Softly he opened the door, so as not to wake Sylvia, went down the hall into the kitchen. He switched on the light. He saw something slipping down the side of the flower bin. Something that clung to the wood like colorless jelly. Almost like a wave of watery foam.
Chandler ran to the kitchen cabinet. Yes, there was the evidence. He opened the flour bin. Trapped in the flour, like those of a huge snake. Of course. Chandler's lips moved unconsciously while he muttered these profoundless words. They were trying to form one word. One word. And that word was ectoplasm. Substance reared itself into his chair. His easy chair. Like a fountain, it gushed up and then sat there. Chandler. Still dead. The door behind him opened. Sylvia stood framed in the doorway.
Chandler, come to bed.
He said nothing.
She laughed easily. Chandler. Honestly, we'd better get out of this house. You're staring like a sleepwalker.
Swiftly, she crossed the room. No. 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 Keep away from that chair. No.
She turned on in anger in her eyes. Really? You weren't going to bother me about like that. And she sat down.
No. No!
Slowly a puzzled look stole over his wife's features. Then she made a frantic effort to get up. She withheld her mouth. She opened it to scream, but no sound came out. And Chandler watched, then came forward. Sylvia was disappearing, slowly, slowly disappearing. No! No! Come back! She grasped her hands and pulled at them, but the hands held him in a grip of steel. Slowly into the chair, too, the hands pulled him forward. He felt something soft and cold envelop him, something inexpressibly cold. He felt it on his fingers, along his arms, his shoulders, on his face and down his neck. And he felt tired, inexpressibly weary. Was this the way death came? Was this ectoplasm? And then he tried to pull away. Blindly, he thought. Sylvia was no longer in the chair. She'd been enveloped in this nameless substance. She was gone. Like an animal, he was trapped. He fought like an animal whose paws are caught. He screamed in terror and pulled. Suddenly, he felt an intense pain in his arm, but he knew he was free. Blindly, he ran from the house, out into the darkness, into the fields, and ran and ran and ran and ran.
The villagers found him in the fields the next morning.
Yes, crazed with her. Screaming and laughing. Laughing like a madman. His arms. They were gone. Gone at the elbow. You think that's a funny story? Oh, you do? Then let me tell you one that's even funnier. Yes. Let me tell you the secret of the Smith Catacomb. The secret?
The clock is about to strike the hour. It is time for the voice of the Black Chapel to recede into the void whence he came. Each evening at this hour, we come to this remote place, the Black Chapel, and listen as the hooded figure sits at the keyboard of the ruined old organ and gibbers his strange tales as his taloned hands grip the cracked keys. Listen tomorrow evening for the story of the Smith Catacombs.